This is Brother Cassieri. As we continue our study in the course on the book of Joshua, we're going to begin lesson number 7, which we'll cover in the book of Joshua, Joshua number 6. Of course, the great chapter 6 is where we have the victory of Israel as over the city of Jericho. As we're going to see, they'll go around the city's 7 days. And again, it's a reminder that God's ways are not our ways. Amen. Who would think that walking around the walls of a city would cause it to come down? With our finite minds, we can't comprehend that. But again, we must remember, as the scriptures say, that God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Amen. Lesson number 7. Let's begin now. Even though a person may be a Christian, he or she still may have territory in their life that is controlled by the flesh, the world, and the devil. It is these areas that God wants us to capture and destroy the inhabitants through the principles found in the book of Joshua. We want just a brief review of the previous lessons and truths. In chapter 1, preparing to serve begins with 3 things: God's promises, his word, God's presence. He had been with them from day one with the children of Israel. God's pressure. God was nudging them into battle. Then in chapter 2, we had taking up the challenge. Taking up the challenge. We saw that Rahab, the harlot, was saved. Joshua spying out Jericho. The first step to conquering your enemies is to know your enemy. Amen. Then in chapter 3, we had crossing the Jordan River. Stepping by faith. Doors only open as you take steps of faith. How true that is. You know, we pray about something and we believe the Lord is leading us in a certain direction in our lives, then the next step is to just step out in faith. And if it isn't the right way, God will block the way. He'll close the door. Amen. Then also in chapter 3, the river, the Jordan River, represents the deep troubles and valleys we face. And that's so true. Amen. And then finally in chapter 3, everybody is to cross and not get left behind. Everybody. Every one of the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River. In chapter 4, we had memorials. Reckoning yourself to be dead. And we saw some things in that chapter. First of all, the Jordan closes back up. The way back, they couldn't go back, so they had to go forward. Amen. And we saw two memorials were established. One in the valley. One in the valley you go through. Never forget Jesus, which is pictured by the ark, was there through it all. And then second, one on this side of the trial. Never forget that you have a new life to live, resurrected and fresh. Then in chapter 5, we saw preparing for the battles. And we saw some things concerning that. Feed yourself. Feed yourself. We saw that the manna had stopped. The manna stops at some point. battle with priorities. In other words, don't be a baby all your life, a baby Christian and lazy. The second thing, make sure you are saved, amen, which was pictured by the circumcision. Don't count on your parents to get you right with God or to keep you right with God, amen. It's an individual relationship with Jesus Christ, not based on your family, your mother or father's relationship, but your relationship with Jesus Christ. And then lastly, we saw, settle the battle in your head. Realize you are already a winner. God has already promised you the victory. So now we want to begin and look at chapter number 6 of Jericho. And of course, in this lesson here, lesson number 7, it's called Pulling Down the Strongholds. Pulling Down the Strongholds. Now, the first stronghold is Jericho, which is the account of the destruction of Jericho in chapter 6. Now, first of all, we want to see the condition of the enemy. The condition of the enemy. Look in Joshua chapter number 6 with me, in verses 1 and 2 as we begin the chapter. Now, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. So what was the condition of the enemy? They were scared. Amen. And the thing is, this world lives in fear of everything. But the only thing that the Christian has to fear is God. Amen? And what's the principle behind this? The principle behind it is quit running scared, turn and fight, and act like God is on the throne. Sometimes we don't, as Christians, we don't act as God is on the throne. Amen? We act as like he's not in power. He's not in charge. Amen. Somebody else is. Amen. The world is. Turn to 2 Samuel with me for just a moment. We'll be coming back to Joshua chapter 6. But I want us to turn to 2 Samuel in chapter number 10, just for a moment. In 2 Samuel chapter number 10, let's look at verses 6 through 12. And when the children of Amnon saw that they stank before David, the children of Amnon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rehob and the Syrians of Zobab, 20,000 footmen, and of the king of Maacah, 1,000 men, and of Ishtob, 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab in all the host of the mighty men. And the children of Amnon came out and put the battle in array at the entering in of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobab and Rehab and Ishtob and Maacah were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hands of Abishai, his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, If the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me, but if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. And then Joab says, Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, in the Lord do that which seemeth him good. Amen. I like what Joab said there. Let us play the men. Be of good courage. Let us play the men for our people. Amen. And that's exactly what we're to do, is to fight and act like God is on the throne. That's how Joab was acting. Amen. He said, let us play the men. Be of good courage. Let us play the men for our people. Amen. And for the cities of our God and the Lord that do that which seemeth him good. He acted and behaved, and he went into battle, he went into the fight, knowing that God was on the throne, and God was going to sort it out, and God was going to deliver them. Amen. And that's how we're to fight as Christians, like God is on the throne. Amen. Now, the problem with Jericho was them walls. Amen. The walls of Jericho. That's what was keeping them, the children of Israel, from getting into the city. Now, what's this a picture, a type of? Well, sin in your life has fortified itself with walls. And for you and I to have victory over sin, you and I need to get behind those walls. Amen? And once those walls are down, you will see sin as it really is in light of God's word. Look in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. We want to see it as it talks about Satan in Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah chapter 14, we want to be looking at verses 15 through 17, Isaiah 14. And this is right after Satan. We know that Satan was the anointed cherub. He had a very high position at the throne room of God. And then he got very prideful and he got lifted up. And he said, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Now notice what it says in verses 15 through 17 of Isaiah 14. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? In other words, what's going to happen is Satan's been brought down, amen, and he's going to be exposed and be seen really as he really is. And they're going to say, hey, is this the same, you know, man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms and so forth and so on? Hey, look at him now. Amen. It's just like sin in our life. Once we get the walls down, then it's exposed. We get to really see it in the light of God's word. But we need God's word to bring the walls down. Amen. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 6. With me. Joshua chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 3 to 5 as we look at the battle plan. The battle plan that God has given Joshua to take the city of Jericho. Joshua chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 3 to 5 right now. And this is the battle plan that God has given Joshua to bring down those walls of Jericho and be victorious over the city of Jericho and its inhabitants. And ye shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus thou shalt do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, In the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Now we want to note all the sevens, amen. All the sevens, all the number sevens, the many times that it's mentioned. We want to remember that in the Bible, God is concerned with numbers, and number seven is his divine number of completion. His completion. And we see here, note the sevens again. Note the sevens in verse 4. And seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. For the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times. Amen. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And of course, as we think about it, the seven could speak of the 7 years of tribulation that the Jews will go through on this earth, amen? And I imagine it'll seem like they're going in circles until the second advent, until Christ returns, amen? Note the type of horns, again, in verses 4 and 5. They're ram's horns, amen? Let's compare this with 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, Paul says, when I came to you, come not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Amen. The testimony of God. And that's what they were doing. Amen. With the ram's horns. They were declaring the testimony of God. What God was about to do, amen, with the ram's horns. Amen. Remember the ram was a sacrifice that was given up at Mount Moriah when Abraham took his only son up there, Isaac, to sacrifice him. And a ram was found caught in the thicket for the sacrifice, amen. Now, note the battle. Note the battle in verse 5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. But where's the fight? You notice there's no fight. All they do is to go around, and they're going to blow the horns, and there's going to be a great shout, amen? You know why there's no fight? Because God is doing the fighting, amen? All they have to do is be obedient to the word of God. And it applies to you and I. If we'll be obedient to the word of God and do what God tells us to do, he'll do the fighting for us. But you know what? Most of the time, we want to do our own fighting. And when we get into that mindset of doing our own fighting, that's when it becomes very disastrous, amen? And we mess things up as Christians. Be obedient to God's word, and he'll do the fighting. If we just follow his instructions, amen, as found in the word of God. Now, we want to note that the armed men go first. Verse 6 and 7. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. Amen. Before. We need armed men to go to battle. And we're reminded to go to battle as Christians, we need to put on that whole armor of God, amen, each and every day when we go out and we fight the spiritual battle, amen, and it is a spiritual battle. We need to, when you get up in the morning, amen, and before you go out the door, put on that whole armor of God, amen. Check it. Make sure you got it on, amen, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, amen, that we should have our loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith. Take your faith with you, amen, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's the only way you're going to be able to protect yourself from the fiery darts of the wicked, is with your shield of faith. The stronger your faith is, the bigger that shield is, I believe. And take the helmet of salvation. Amen. The helmet of salvation. You can't lose your salvation. Praise God for that. And don't forget the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take the Word of God with you. Amen. No matter where you go. Amen. You don't have to take your gigantic study Bible, but you should have a Bible with you. Amen. Wherever you go. I have it at work. Amen. I have it in the car in the glove compartment. Amen. Wherever you go, you should have the sword of the Spirit. And then he says, praying always. Don't forget to pray. Praying always with all prayer and supplication with the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We need armed men. Amen. And if we do all of this, if we follow God's battle plan, then we note that total destruction, amen, is to take place. Total destruction is to take place. Amen. That's what's promised. Let's look over in Genesis chapter 15 for a minute. Genesis chapter 15. And in Genesis chapter 15, I want us to look at verses 13 through 16. And he said unto Abram, know of surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them that they shall afflict them 400 years. And of course, God is telling Abraham about that the children of Israel will be in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And then he says, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquities of the Amorites is not yet full. So he's promised that the nation that Israel served, which was Egypt, amen, that he would judge them, and that they would leave Egypt with great substance, which they did. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 7 with me, in verse number 2. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor shew mercy unto them. And of course, this is what the Lord God told Moses, that he was going to deliver the enemy into their hands when they crossed into the promised land, but they would utterly destroy them. Don't make any treaties with them, covenants, utterly destroy them. That was God's instructions to the people of Israel. Of course, we know in some cases they didn't totally destroy the enemy and they ran into problems, amen. The next thing that we want to see is the special instructions, the special instructions that were given to Joshua in the children of Israel. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 6. Let's first look in verse number 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout." So he gives them some explicit instruction. Joshua, he says, be quiet, don't say a word, until I tell you to shout, then you shout. Verse 17. Let's drop down to verse 17 in Joshua chapter 6. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the cursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Now he goes in there. Joshua tells him, everyone in Jericho is accursed by the Lord, except Rahab, because Rahab hid those two spies, the two spies of Israel that Joshua sent out. So Rahab and any of those, any who's ever with her in her house, are to be speared. And he said, don't touch of any of the spoils, because they're accursed. He said, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they were to come into the treasury of the Lord. So we see some special instructions here. No talking, amen, right? Learn to be quiet. Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians, as we're talking, the instructions were the children of Israel to be quiet. In 1 Thessalonians, in chapter number 4, in verse 11, Paul says, "In that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you." Be quiet, Paul said, and work. Similar here. Joshua says, be quiet. When I tell you to shout, then shout. But before then, no word is to come out of your mouth. Not one word. Amen. Also, no talking, Joshua says, but also no touching. No touching the accursed thing. Don't touch the spoils. And you know, against popular opinion, there are things that you and I should not touch. Amen? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. In verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, Paul says, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. And of course, Paul was talking about before marriage, that it's not good for a man to touch a woman. And of course, that's against popular opinion today, amen? They do a lot more than just touching, amen? And then Paul also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, he said, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit, amen to that. Actually, I want us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separated, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And of course, no talking, no touching, you know. Again, there are certain things that we should not touch, like I mentioned, the people of the opposite sex. Like God's money, the tithe, the first fruits. And like the redeemed life of yours, that is God. Your life that you have is not yours, amen? And we're reminded of that in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, we want to notice as we go back to the sixth chapter of Joshua, we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 14. Let's read down 11 through 14. So the ark of the Lord come past the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, and the reward came after the ark of the Lord, their priests, going on and blowing with the trumpets. In the second day they come past the city once and return in the camp. So they did 6 days. Notice, 6 days and no victory. What's that a picture of? It's life right now. Amen. Right now, we seem like, you know, each day it's like there's no victory. Amen. But there is. Amen. When we get on the other side, it's going to be a great shouting. Amen. Great carrying on. The first day, notice, nothing happened. The second day, nothing happened. The third, fourth, fifth, and sixth day, nothing happened. The principle here is, even if God never does anything for you, you still just keep marching. Amen. Now notice the seventh day. Notice the seventh day with me. In Joshua chapter 6, verses 15 through 16. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Amen. That is the time to shout. Amen. God had given them the city. Amen to that. Praise the Lord for that. And what this is a picture of is heaven and the millennium. That's where the rewards are and where full joy will be. Truly, walking by faith, the walls did not fall down until after They shouted. What's the principle? What's the principle here that we want to learn and see? Well, the principle is quit being babies and waiting for God to always make the first move in your life. If God gave clear instructions concerning something in your life, don't wait on God to give you the victory. Go ahead and start living it and shout. 9 times out of 10, God is not going to do anything in your life until you step out by faith. An example of that was crossing the Jordan. Thank God for what He is about to do. Amen. Amen to that. Look at in verse 20. Look what happened. Joshua chapter 6. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Amen. Down came those impassable walls. My dear friend, see what happens when the Christian, when the child of God, is obedient to God's word in his life? Great victories. We need to examine ourselves. Maybe we're not being victorious is because we're not being obedient to his word. Notice also now, let's go to verses 21 and 24. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all she hath, as ye swear unto her. And then in verse 24, and they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver, the gold, and the vessels of brass and iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Utter destruction. Utter destruction of Jericho. What was the reason? What was the reason? Well, the reason was the people of Jericho hated God and hated Israel. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, amen. Just for a moment. In Deuteronomy chapter number 7, we want to look at verses 7 through 10. Deuteronomy 7, verses 7 through 10. And the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in numbers than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondsmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. And we saw that. People of Jericho hated God, hated the children of Israel. So God said in his word that he would utterly destroy them, and that's exactly what he did. Notice also in 2 Thessalonians. And here we have talking about when the Lord comes at the second advent. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 6 through 9. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. God promises those that trouble us as Christians, who refuse to hear the gospel, amen? He's going to come back and he's utterly going to destroy them. What we see here, because the people of Jericho hated God and they hated Israel, what was the result? Complete victory over the enemy. Complete victory over the enemy. Now let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 7 again, in verses 3 and 4 this time, in Deuteronomy chapter 7. In verses 3 and 4. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy sons from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. See, the consequences were this. If they don't totally destroy their enemies, amen, the possibility that God, what would happen is it was a possibility that Israel would intermarry with the heathens, amen, and that would anger God and God would destroy Israel, amen. So they needed to totally destroy their enemies. There was total destruction, of course, except for two things. Rahab and her family were saved, of course. And the gold and silver, amen, and the brass and iron were dedicated to God, were put into the Lord's treasury, amen. Now, as we conclude lesson number 7, three principles that I want us to see that we can learn from this chapter. First of all, as I began, I said that God's ways are not our ways, are they? We're reminded of this in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 55. Turn there with me if you would. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Talking about the Lord now. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So principle number one that we learn from this chapter, chapter number 6 of Joshua, is God's ways are not our ways. The second lesson that we want to learn, or the principle that we want to get from this chapter, is God's timing may drag on and on, but the victory is just as sure as if it occurred already. Amen. God's timing. God's never in a hurry, I find. If you've been saved for any period of time, you'll find that out. You know, waiting on the Lord is one of the hardest things for a Christian to do. Amen? To be patient. But even though God's timing may drag on and on, but the victory is just as sure as if it occurred already. And then the last principle that we want to learn from this chapter 6 of Joshua, God calls for the complete defeat of sin in your life, and nothing, absolutely nothing, is to be salvaged. Again, the three principles from this lesson. God's ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9. God's timing may drag on and on, but victory is just as sure as if it occurred already. And number 3, God calls for complete defeat of sin in your life and my life, and nothing is to be salvaged. Well, that concludes lesson number 7. And when we meet again next time, we'll begin lesson number 8, Sin in the Camp, and we'll look at Joshua chapter 7. So this ends